Melanie Fernandez is the respondent before we open the floor to questions. She has a very difficult position, which all of you will be particularly acutely, I think, at this particular conference, as following in Judith Mastai's position at the Art Gallery of Ontario as head of education. So it's a particular pleasure to have her here. She's held positions before at the Royal Ontario Museum and on the Ontario, what is it, the Ontario Society of Artists? Have I got that correctly, Melanie? Anyway, Melanie, welcome.
Can everyone hear me? No? Is that better? Yeah. I'd just like to thank the organizers of the conference for inviting me, that Vera, John, and Joyce particularly. It is a difficult position to be in, to follow in the footsteps of the person you're all here to honor. But in my position at the AGO, what we're really hoping to do is take the influential work of Judith Mastai and build on that, and in that process, finding a new voice that she helped set the direction for. It's probably every educator's dream to get to respond to a panel of curators. And the educators in the audience will probably realize that. So here's my time. And what I think I'll do is just pose a series of questions that I've been thinking about over the last few days in thinking about this panel. And facilitated by some readings that John sent me of Judith's work. And some thinking I did a number of years ago when I was thinking about curatorial practice, about 8 or 9 years ago, and then I stopped thinking about it for a while and started to work on some interesting projects, and it was good to come back to that. Judith wrote in an article that called "There is No Such Thing as a Visitor." Unlike the curator's task of creating an exhibition text, a task much beleaguered by the current panache for exhibition critique, the task of the educator is to bridge the gaps between inquiry and authority, between desire and satisfaction, between length of attention span and the volume of potential information. She also said the work of the educator is to assess the relationship of viewers to objects and to facilitate the process of meaning making by building a bridge between perception and the intention through reading and discussing of works of art. Although we are hearing about amazing new curatorial practices which push the boundaries between the disciplines and open up galleries and museums to large ranges of visitors, Artropolis, I was struck by some comments that you made, that there were 30,000 visitors who participated. What strikes me is that there's so little conversation about who these people are, how they inform what we do, and what their place is in the role of museums and galleries and curatorial practice. So what I found myself wanting to know was, and I'm really excited by the exhibition and have always been, who are these people? Why did they come? And what do they think of the exhibition? You mentioned the process was very inclusive and representative as possible. And the intent was inclusion. And then you listed the number of ways that the visitor could participate and travel through changing roles within the exhibition. They were spectators, they were participants, they were archivists, they were they had multiple roles. So I wanted to know how the conception of the exhibition and the curatorial premise, did it imagine the role, these various roles for the visitor, and did it inform the thinking of these, of your practice? The same with the work of Jim and Jennifer. In your statement about the mandate of your curatorial practice and its multidisciplinarity, you talk about community and the public. There was, for me, very little discussion about how the public and how visitors engaged with the interventions, and was your conception at the outset, were there some conceptions about drawing them in, and how were you thinking of drawing them in? So I guess as an educator, the tension that exists between the role of the curator and the role of the educator for me was still so prevalent that in your new curatorial practices, those roles aren't merging and blending together. So as Judith said, the role of the curator to create the exhibition, and then the role of the educator to interpret that to the public, for me seemed to be along parallel paths. And it was my hope when I was thinking about this many years ago that these roles would come to a point where there was a new thinking in curatorial practice where those they would converge. So that's something I'm interested in hearing from the audience. And I'm also interested in the role of the public in the kinds of work we do. Public as consumers, public as participants, and the communities that we keep talking about. Who are they? Communities of artists, communities of other professionals, ethno-racial communities, communities of interest, and what is the role in the institutions? We talked a lot about democratization of exhibition and curatorial practices. So that's another thing I'm thinking about. And in a more broad context, the role and responsibility of museums in civil society, curatorial practice being at the center, at one of the centers of that. So I was reading a really good journal that came out a few weeks ago, and if you didn't get it, I suggest that you all try and get it. It was from MERT, the Museum Educators Roundtable, and it was on interventions. And it was edited by Jana Graham and Doris Vandenbreckel of the Education Department at the AGO. And there was a paragraph that really struck me in the article. It was a quote by Elizabeth McGregor from Icon Gallery in England, who said, "The gallery museum should be at the core of the nexus of relationships, intersecting in different ways with different communities of interest. Engaging audiences should be central, not an addition, to outreach work and breaking down the hierarchies between gallery outreach, between education and exhibitions, between art gallery, public art, and community art. This is paramount." Thank you.